We are talking with Freeman about Aliens from Hell, Demons, Mind Control, and the Rise of the Dark Hero, if you will. Some very interesting concepts here we've been laying out, and we have much more to get into here, of course. I wanted to get into more on the New World Global Capitals. Interesting article that Freeman had up on the website a while back, tying in Astana, Kazakhstan, and where that very bizarre pentagram was discovered not too long ago. I think it was even on Google Earth, by the way. But before we do that, before we get into that kind of bigger topic, if you will, I wanted to ask you more about X symbolism. One of the recent discoveries as well was Apple's new Maverick operating system, again, choosing the X. And I think Apple has to be one of the most potent, you know, symbolically drenched companies out there. I mean, even Steve Jobs' own journey has certainly been interesting. Even when he passed away, there was some reporting there on the deathbed that he had certain visions or whatnot. He's always seemed like the kind of guy who had one foot in the other world, and that kind of channeled through a lot of his, both the products, of course, but also the symbolism behind that. But what's the deal with the X, Freeman, and why is that important?
Yeah, it's more than just the X. It's X with the circle around it, pretty much the X-Men logo. And I'm going to be doing a full expose deeper and deeper into this on Conspiracy Science Theater, because I've found this symbol even in ancient Egypt. And I have film footage of the ancient Egyptian depictions of this O and the X. And curiously, next to that is a inverted cross, which I find really interesting, being that, you know, Jesus still had a couple of thousand years to come around the planet. So the symbolism goes as far back as I can find. And it is an O and an X. And strangely, what occurred was, I've had this on my website for years and years. Just a little notation in there on the Mark of the Beast, saying that the Mark of the Beast, according to the Ordo Templi Orientis, according to the occult orders that practice ancient ritual magic that goes back to ancient Egypt, the Mark of the Beast is identical to the heart of the sigil of Nodens.
Nodens.
And of course, this left me a little out of my depth, because, yeah, I hadn't heard of Nodens. But as you know, the Nazis were based out of Scandinavian gods, Nordic gods, and this was where their belief systems went. I mean, people don't really realize how deep the Nazis' occult aspects were to all of this, and all of the beliefs in Atlantis and ancient civilizations in the inner earth and, you know, superior beings that lived in Hyperborea and the capital of Ultima Thule. This is what drove the political party. And this is so critical to what people need to understand. They think they're seeing policy in politics, but what you really have is the injection of the occult into the political and social economic structure. So that's where you really need to see where their motivations lie. The O and the X turned out to be the symbol of the heart of the sigil of Nodens. And as I began looking deeper into Nodens, I quickly realized that he was the god of thunder and lightning, and that he was the ancient elder god. And then when I saw the depiction, I realized that he's Poseidon, or Atlas, or even King Triton from Disney's The Little Mermaid. And all of this actually correlated to what is known as Typhon in the esoteric realms, which is the god of the abyss, or the beast in the abyss. So it all coordinated to Typhon through these different layers from Nodens. And as soon as I had come out with Aliens from Hell, and it took me months to craft that whole thing, it wasn't something that I just threw together. The week after I did the presentation at ConspiracyCon, they announced the Maverick system coming out. And all of a sudden, I had predicted the next corporate logo of Macintosh. And as you say, I had also played very heavily on the satanic connotations of the bitten apple of Macintosh,
yeah,
which of course Steve Jobs says is actually the bitten apple of Snow White, which of course is an Aryan tale the Nazis loved. Which also is the idea of a witch handing you something that's going to put you to sleep, you know? So is it the forbidden fruit of the Garden of Eden, or is it this witch's poison? You know, take your pick. Either way, you're kind of doomed. And then I'm showing that this mark of the beast is this O and the X, and boom, that becomes the corporate logo of Maverick and of the Macintosh OS 10, right? OX.
Yeah.
But this symbol has been everywhere. Let's just stick to what it is, and then we can get to where it is. So it turns out that J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of Lord of the Rings, was very interested in Nodens. And he actually based the story of the cursed ring on a cursed ring of Nodens that was found at a temple to Nodens, which J.R.R. Tolkien visited regularly and was very deep into studying the etymology of Nodens, the name, where it came from, who he came from, and how it all came. So this actually spurs up into the tales of the Lord of the Rings. And if you believe the mythos behind this, then J.R.R. Tolkien was one that was able to go into the Vatican's libraries and come out with what he considered the true, or an adaptation of the true history of planet Earth. So including elves and dwarves and dragons. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this symbol that you see, and just to really hit it home, this O and the X, you know, what you see on Xbox, what you see on the X-Men, what you see on Brand X and Madonna's performance at the Super Bowl, over and over and over and over, you can show this to you. It has shown up on Phineas and Ferb on the Disney cartoon, where a robot is stamping the O and the X on children's heads. And again, according to these occult orders, this is the mark of the beast. So on Disney's Phineas and Ferb, there they are stamping the mark of the beast onto children's heads using a robot. And then also in their show, Shake It Up, they have that same symbolism going on, same O and X sitting there. Disney really is at the heart of this. Understand, they own the X-Men, right? So that's them again. That's right back to Disney and Marvel. So the O and the X symbol, which is also embedded in the back of the skull of the high priest of the Church of Satan, you can see it. I have a video with Rex Church on my Mark of the Beast article, where he turns around and shows you the mark of the beast on the back of his head. He has it in, surgical steel is the O and the X, right? So you don't need to, question me. It's over and over and over again that this symbol. So this symbol is actually a hermaphroditic symbol, the O being the feminine and the X being the male. And it really relates to much of the same symbolism that you see all over the place. Say the Masonic compass and square, right? That you have a hermaphroditic symbol. It's basically looking like a sexual stance where the male and the female come together. And then in between that, you have the letter G. And this is the Masonic symbol that you'll see everywhere. Well, that letter G then relates to the tree of life, because everything within the Masonic order relates to Kabbalah, and you have to relate these things to the tree of life. And on the tree of life, there is a direct path from earth to heaven, and it is signified by a tarot card and by a letter, and its letter is G. Its tarot card is the Empress, and the letter G, which you see in between the sexual hermaphroditic symbol of the Masonic square, is that path that goes from earth to heaven. But in order to cross the most direct route from earth to heaven in this system of magic, you have to cross over the abyss. And this is where the fallen angels and the Typhonic orders exist. And this is the lower levels of hell. See, now, a magician may go on the tree of life, and this is a map that they use as they traverse the interdimensional realms using ceremonial magic. There are aspects to the 10 nodes on the tree of life, and you need to study them. You need to study the mathematical computations of the gods' names that exist in that node, so that when you go there, you can recognize the sights, sounds, smells, and you can actually do the numerology on the name of the entity that is talking to you at this point. And they say that these entities always lie and that you always have to challenge them. But so there's a circuitous route that will take you above the abyss without having to go the direct route, the G route, through the abyss. Crowley was said to have done this in the, I think it was the Babylon working. He opened all of these thresholds going through the abyss in his house at the Loch Ness, and then never bothered to go back and close those openings. Huh. And so a lot of that typhonic energy is still just radiating out of this.
Right.
So that O and X symbol is the same hermaphroditic symbol that you're going to see the point within a circle, like the circumpunct, the sun sign. But more specifically, the occult order that seems to be influencing all of the Hollywood productions and all of the different things that you are seeing on the Super Bowl and everywhere else. According to the OTO, it is this O and the X is the mark of the beast, the heart of the sigil of Nodens.
Let me ask you a little bit more about a contradiction. If we look at some of the history of Disney, and then if we go into like Marvel and what is it, DC Comics and some of the other stuff. And it turns out the majority of the bigger names within the comic book world are Jewish, you know, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Joe Simon, and there's a tons of other ones who are in the, I think it's called the Jack Kirby Hall of Fame or whatnot, you know. Mm-hmm. What is the tie-in there, you think, if there is a, you know, the Disney Nazi kind of background, and then at a certain point in Disney's history, Eisner, what was his first name? Something Eisner.
Michael
Eisner takes over and everything else. And at this stage, there's, you know, tons of these Marvel comics. And I mean, basically all of them are being turned into like these massive, you know, productions out of Hollywood right now.
Yeah, you can't escape it either. It's in every store. It's in every dollar store. It's every product that you would ever want has that emblazoned on there, the different Marvel characters or the Disney characters. When you know how much Disney owns, you just like are dumbfounded because it's everything you're looking at. Electronic Arts gaming, so all of the Madden games, you know, that's all Disney.
Do they manage to carry on? I guess, let's say if there is an occult veiled kind of Nazi history, an occult Nazi history that you talked about within Disney and propagated throughout the, you know, the industry in terms of movies and symbolism. It's just interesting to me that there's a potential major contradiction in that we have so many, you know, Jewish comic book writers that are kind of taking over and propagating the torch of this. I don't know if there's anything to it. I was in order to ask you about it.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, you know, when you watch enough Hollywood and you see enough of the productions that come forward, then you realize that there is some sort of Jewish conspiracy. Now, I am no anti-Semite. I hate no one. But everyone I see on television is Jewish. I mean,
that's right. Yep.
You know,
yep.
It's like John Stewart to Roseanne Barr. You take your gambit in there and everywhere. And then in the same within the structure of the comic book worlds and how these characters were crafted. And you look at Superman, and it was an obvious reference to a Jesus type character. His father on high sent his only begotten son down to save humanity from themselves. You know, he's Jesus, but yet he's a Nephilim too. He's an extraterrestrial god that came from somewhere else and has all these superior powers to all the humans. All of these stories, it has been a difficult discovery for me because you have to battle through the anti-Semitism. And actually, a Disney wrote a book on the protocols of the Elders of Zion. I forgot Disney's first name. Is it right there? The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. There's a comic book. Will Eisner.
Will Eisner, that's right.
Yeah, and showing how this has been utilized and manipulated throughout time. A great comic book. It's called The Plot, The Secret Stories of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. So anyway, so as I started to form this puzzle and trying to see this, I, of course, have been going to Masonic lodges all over the world And this will play a big part in my new show as well, showing you all of the insides and the different realms of these Masonic lodges and getting Masons to tell you what goes on in there.
Right.
But over and over and over again, I kept coming across all of this Jewish symbolism, all of the Star of David's within the George Washington Masonic Memorial. You have the Ark of the Covenant. You have the Tower of Babel. You've got the Star of Solomon. You've got the depictions on the walls. And this is all up on my Conspiracy Science Theater Facebook page. I have all of the depictions of the burning bush, of the carrying of the Ark of the Covenant. And so, I mean, there's the correlation that Albert Pike, the Grand Sovereign Commander of Freemasonry when it was really fully formed in America, said over 70 times in the book Morals and Dogma that Freemasonry is Kabbalism, which is a Hebrew magic,
right.
Mysticism.
Yeah.
Hitler himself was also a Kabbalist. He was constantly studying Theosophy, carrying around Schuster's, was it Schuster? No, that's Superman.
Yeah, you're thinking about like the Ostara magazine and those kinds of publications.
Well, he had the history of and practice of magic that he would carry with him and had marked extensively in. And what I think really was going on with Hitler and the SS and the Thule Society was the elimination of other magicians. Because it wasn't simply Jewish people that they were eradicating. It was also Freemasons and gypsies.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So they needed to remove the other magicians from their realms. And I think that had a lot more to do with it than there being a Jewish conspiracy. Or, you know, I think that they're working hand in hand. You know, I can't help but see that.
Yeah,
because you go to, oh, and I want to announce that, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead, Freeman. Go ahead.
I do want to announce that Don Peyote, just announced in Variety Magazine, they announced that Don Peyote will be released this spring. This is the film that I did with Dan Fogler, where he has an epic meltdown becoming a truther and then tries to find his way through this psychedelic crash. It's an epic film. We aired it at the Free Your Mind conference, and it was nonstop laughter. Fantastic. So Don Peyote's coming out, and the reason I bring it up is that I took Dan to the Masonic Temple there in New York. And they didn't allow us to use any of that footage in the film, but it's going to come out later as a documentary, and hopefully it'll also come out on Conspiracy Science Theater.
Ah, okay. Well, that's too bad that they didn't use that, but go ahead.
They couldn't get, the Masons wouldn't sign off. You wouldn't believe what this guy was telling us. It's epic. It'll get out. I'll get it out some way or another. The thing this guy was, oh my God. And it was all happening right at the same time as the equinox. And there was a full moon and an eclipse. All of that on that same time while we were at this lodge. Now, but at the New York Grand Lodge, they have a special lodge room that is simply for Hollywood people.
Really?
And it is a special room because typically the Masons do their rituals at night, and this one accounts for rituals during the day. And as you walk in copper impressions all over, is every Hollywood bigwig from the creation of Hollywood and Nickelodeon. They were all there, all Masons. Everybody that you could think of that was at the foundation of Hollywood was a Mason.
Yeah, that's right. MGM and you know, all the big production houses and all the, yeah, you're right, all the folks basically behind that. And look at the you know, the theaters and everything else. It's Babylonian, Egyptian, you know, connotations, you know, those in LA and everything. So there is a, you know, I've always seen that tie-in as well that you're talking about. It's a borrowing from the ancient world. Now, whether that is strictly Judaic or Egyptian, you know, Babylonian, and of course, there's even correlations there, of course, between, you know, how much Judaism actually borrowed from those two religions, you know, as they were captives in those respective cultures, I guess, as well. So it's a tie-in from the ancient world where you have an overlap and you have a bringing out from that time and that era into current times. But what you're saying, Freeman, is that there's a bigger plot there of the advancement of black magic as opposed to a single culture, correct?
Yeah, and it definitely sounds like we're getting right towards the concept of pre-planned cities.
Yeah, what is that?
Well, as you were saying, the New World Order global capitals, they are pre-planned cities, and they are engineered and designed as ancient seals of Solomon to utilize demonic spirits. So according to magical legend, King Solomon had the ultimate grimoire, Gawaisha magic is what it would be known as, and it was the ability to manipulate these forces of the abyss, which is that ONX symbol again, and utilize demons for your own gains. And so King Solomon is known as the ultimate magician and having identified these different sigils that could control these demons. And the first time I came across a city structure in the same exact shape as this the seal to bind and utilize demons was the Nashville Capitol out in the front yard, where they have this very unusual park, and it is designed as this ancient seal of Solomon to bind spirits. I actually take the seal from Solomon's grimoire, which has been re-brought back through the works of the OTO, and I lay them on top of each other, and you can see, I call this the Sorcerers of Atlantis. And you can see that this the mall out in front of the Nashville Capitol, the Bicentennial Mall, is actually the Seal of Solomon to bind spirits. And it's placed there on top of a Native American burial ground, which again goes back to the idea of removing certain magical energies from lands. I find so often that they desecrate, and especially with Walmarts, these Native American burial grounds and work on removing all traits and all natures from these indigenous tribes so that they no longer exist.
It's funny because it's in, you know, in Europe, you have a building of Gothic cathedrals over some of these very, you know, high node places and ancient ritual sites. But it's interesting to see that the torch being carried on forward that is now that Walmarts are being Walmart, built there, yeah. Instead of Gothic cathedrals. That's funny.
No, it's so true too. We have that in weird stuff. That's one of our strange facts. so as you start to look around, the first pre-planned city was designed by a couple known as the Griffins, and they designed Canberra, the capital of Australia. And as you look at the design of this, you clearly see that ancient Seal of Solomon, a different one from the Gawaisha, as the city plan. They have an obelisk sitting out exactly where it would be in the drawn-out sigil, and everything, the shapes and all of the things are there. This was the first pre-planned cities in the early 1900s, and then was later finished by Henry Kissinger, really setting the stage of how it would be set up. And that's weird in itself, right? I mean, there's one Jew that won't die. But, I mean, that guy's got to be 100 and something, right?
Yeah, what is he, actually?
So what is he doing as he's out there setting up the capital of Canberra, where, of course, Echelon and Pine Gap and all of the data gathering technologies are. And also being the person personally responsible for the concept of developing 10 UN regions of America.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And now we, of course, have Barack Obama identifying the 10 regional governors, which is kind of creepy and scary. And
the 10 horns of the beast.
You know, there's that, yeah. So Kissinger, the Capitol building or the Parliament building ended up being a capped pyramid, you know, in the end of that. But now we're on to bigger and better, and you go to Astana. And Astana, unlike the Borat movie in Kazakhstan, is the most high-tech city ever crafted. And this place looks bizarre. I mean, if aliens had landed on planet Earth or a Stargate had opened and these Gauld came through, they would build Astana. I mean, this place, you got to walk through a giant glass pyramid to get into the city. And then there's two massive copper columns that I guess are buildings. They don't seem to have windows or anything. But these are the two columns entering Solomon's temple. These are the columns of Jachin and Boaz, the two that you would pass in Freemasonry. These are the twin columns you see Aleister Crowley creating with his fist and his arms in the picture that's so famous. Jachin and Boaz. So here they are. And in the center of that, you've got this big buckyball, you know, something out of Disney World up on a high spire. And up there, a golden triangle with what's said to be the hand of the architect embedded into the gold triangle, like something out of Total Recall. Even the finger placements is weird, like they had in Total Recall. But the thing about Astana, well, realize also that this is where all of the International Space Station launches go. This is the main space platform for our interaction with the International Space Station until SpaceX gets their Falcon up in there, or maybe even Orbitals gets theirs. And you know, at the moment that they were taking $6 billion out of the food stamp system in America, they were gathering $19 billion to shuttle supplies to the six people on the International Space Station, all right? They've got all these stem cell projects and telepresence robots going on up there. You better be watching what's going on. That's where this is all leading in the end.
Astana, by the way, before we came
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's where I was going back. From space, if you were in the International Space Station looking down upon Astana, you would see that it is actually the main seal of Solomon, used to bind these spirits and utilize these demons. And I'm using their own terms, okay?
Yeah.
That's what they call them. And the city, the pre-planned city, basically the first, the Canberra was first, but, you know, this one's like the first real high-tech. They're going to build an indoor city there. It's crazy. Is the seal of Solomon to bind spirits. When you see it from Google Earth, just check it out. And it's the same seal that was in the Nashville Bicentennial Mall. The exact same thing.
They have the Pyramid of Peace, I think they call it, in Astana. They had a film festival there recently too, where they have the, I don't know if you saw anything of that, but the griffin, or a very, well, it could be some kind of, well, it is a griffin, I guess. It looks like a merging of a couple of different animals, but it's very, it's very Babylonian in style, but you have the Ak Orda, the presidential palace, and when you look at images of Astana, it really looks, to me, it looks creepy. It's as you said, it's really like a planned sci-fi kind of futuristic town. It's one of these that hasn't propped up organically or naturally, and I wonder how it is to live in an environment like that, especially if there is... node point charges going on or something in terms of draining energy wise. I don't know, but it looks really trippy, you know?
Yeah, and the name Astana actually means threshold. And they also had announced that they were coming with the global currency, which was called ACMetal, which always makes me think of Mars Attacks.
ACMetal, huh?
ACMetal, yeah. You got any axe, man? it means supreme quality in Kazakhstan.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
So how far away from that is the pentagram that was discovered?
Okay, so yeah, this came out right after Aliens from Hell as well. Suddenly we found that at these coordinates in Kazakhstan, which is it's pretty good distance from the Cosmodrome, where we launched to the International Space Station, and probably twice as far to Astana. It's up in the northern region. If you go to my website and check out Aliens from Hell, you'll get the coordinates there. And you can put this into Google Earth yourself, and you will see that there's a massive inverted pentagram made out of the forest in this just weird region. And on the Google map, it is designated the seal of the devil, and it was known to be a Russian summer camp for children, or is going to be. I haven't quite figured out which part that it seemed like they were developing it, But here it is, this massive pentagram that you could see from space, made out of the forest in Kazakhstan. Very bizarre.
Very bizarre.
I should mention that the Astana flag has the mark of the beast in the center of it, with a radiant sun. You know, it's right there, the O and the X, plain as day. And it's even tripled so that you've got three X's basically in one X.
Yeah, you're right. It's very much a play on the old Soviet symbolism. It's very clear as well, you know. You could just see the kind of the wheat reefs or whatever they have around that with the blazing sun. But the pentagram too is believed to come out of a, you know, it's a remnant of a former Soviet era summer camp, is that whose grounds are said to be never completed. I actually saw one of the videos too where I guess a couple or something in the area there goes out to visit it. Did you ever get a chance to see that? Because it shows really how desolate it is as well. There's like nothing around there.
No, I haven't seen that. I'll have to get that in my weird video section.
Yeah, I'll send you that because that's pretty interesting. It shows how it's when you're on the ground, the footage that they had there, they're driving with the car straight to it. It's like you can hardly actually see what it is. It's only like when you get up high in the air that you actually can be able to distinguish and tell a little bit what it is. But again, all of this kind of comes out of the post you know, Soviet era, and for me, he was looked into some of the occult connections to the revolution and everything in 1917, that this was done under the sign of Scorpion. It just makes perfect sense that this is a continuation on a very, very occult and, well, I couldn't think of any better word than satanic when it comes to, you know, what happened in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, I gotta say, there was a day in the far past when it was the 90s, you know, 98, maybe 97. And they were about to test HAARP as a meteor deflection shield. And I was reporting that this weaponization of space and the idea of the loss of mutual destruction, the ability to have a force field against nuclear weapons, is what we're talking about with HAARP. And they were testing it that day as a missile defensive shield. And we were driving to go visit a friend that lives in a missile silo. He has a $2 million home in a missile silo. You can find him on the internet and see the house. We were on our way to go visit him. And I was a bit concerned because I knew on that day, America had violated the SALT treaties and the strategic arm limitation, the ideas of mutual destruction treaties, and that the Russians had said there would be a Russia-China alliance against any of this type of weaponization of space. And of course, back in the 90s, we didn't have the internet like we do now. You know, it was a whole different monster, but you got your news, you got your things. And I was concerned about that day. And as we're driving to this missile silo, I see what looks like a host of missiles coming our way. There was fire in the sky just heading straight for us. And it looked like a number of missiles coming. And what happened was all of a sudden it was going past us. And everybody pulled over on the side of the highway. And we watched as it moved from one horizon all the way to the other. And what it looked like was the Empire State Building broken into bits, on fire in the atmosphere, just kind of dripping fire off of the parts as it moved from one horizon to the other. And the next day they had said that it was a failed Russian rocket launch. But I found it so intriguing, the timing, because it was the very day they were testing HAARP as a missile defensive shield, and would have been a reason for the Russia-China alliance to, you know, give them protocols to be able to attack. I still don't know, but that is, you know, my greatest concern is the Russia-China alliance. People don't know that that's, you know, they're unified.
Sure, sure. Oh, yeah, definitely. This has been very interesting to watch this on the geopolitical you know, seeing the different alliances that goes on. And in some cases, I think people have a perception that it's already very, very organized at the top. And, you know, no, the game is set and everything is planned out. But I believe that there's a tremendous amount of, you know, infighting going on in different factions that have completely, you know, different interests. Sure, one side might be, you know, heavily financed and have a lot of the technological gadgetry to their advantage. But it's by no means, you know, a one world order yet, you know?
Right.
Did you hear, by the way, about the Church of the Meteorite that was set up in Russia after, I think it was after that, that space rock that you know, was seen in, I think it was February. Do you remember that? The big meteorite that came in over Russia?
Oh, definitely. Yes. You know, my Space War News section, I've been tracking this and trying to keep up with all of the crazy things that, like I say, with them shutting down the space fence and all of the near Earth object systems due to the government shutdown here. You know, they kicked the NASA interns out into the streets. So it's like, oh, we no longer have any money to feed or to house and put you to work. So they were all kicked out and homeless. I wonder if those NASA employees might end up in some detention center somewhere. You know, they had to be put up by the other NASA employees. It was a crazy situation. But at the same time, we lost all sight of these incoming bolides, at least publicly.
Right. Yeah.
And that is the biggest thing to be concerned about right now. So, yes, you know, the ideas of these incoming fireballs that are causing sonic booms and earthquakes is something that I tracked for many years on my website, up to the point when they announced that this knowledge became secret. And I have that document on my website showing you that all data from these incoming bolides that were not seeming to have any rock associated with them. No one could find these rocks, but they come in, cause a sonic boom and earthquakes. The first one I ever tracked was 1996 over the HAARP facility. Strangely, as they were testing it as a meteor deflection shield, and this made me question: could we hurl meteors at the planet? Now, the X-37B, or the secret space shuttle, which is also a telepresence robot. There is no pilot on the secret space shuttle. It's a robotic plane. Went up and launched just a few weeks before the Russian, or really just, I think, a week or 10 days before the Russian meteor came down. And what occurred was there was a mysterious explosion in space that was filmed by an amateur astronomer. And then, lo and behold, if, you know, fireballs don't start falling in on Earth, because that the Russian one wasn't the only one. There was another one on the other side of the planet that they say wasn't related at all. And yet, at the same time, we don't know what the X-37B, the secret space shuttle, is doing up there. And no one outside of the DOD knows what's going on with this thing. And are they hurling, you know, is this going on? Because Russia came out right after that announcing that we were using some sort of meteor weapon against them. And, you know, this can't be good for relations when they were showing them the X-37B.
Right.
I wrote this deep article on this for Paranoia. And it's called Science Fiction or The Road to Immortality, where I discuss the X-37B and how upset the other nations of the world that we had weaponized space. I show you the video clips of Barack Obama in his platform, his campaign for presidency, saying, "I will not weaponize space," and immediately shuts down NASA, immediately starts launching up weaponized programs, and immediately starts this privatized space program, which was all set into place in the first place because I was already tracking NASA astronauts interacting with the Falcon vehicles, the SpaceX vehicles, long before this ever occurred. You know, a lot is going to plan, but what is going on that International Space Station? I mean, we've got 19 yeah. stem cell projects going on up there, along with the telepresence robot, Robonaut 2. So the idea of transmitting your soul into a robotic body, the ideas of longevity and immortality through human cloning, that's another thing I'm tracking on Freeman TV all the time, is the legislation on human cloning.
Yeah.
People are thinking this is like somewhere out in the future. And I'm like, it's happening. It's already, you know, we're having to write laws. We're having to regulate. We're having to, Barack Obama came out and released the restrictions on stem cell research, allowing for human cloning for experimentation. And it's just, you know, it's happening.
Yeah, yeah. That's just, it's just very worrying in terms of what's happening, I think, behind the scenes. And by the way, before we continue a little bit on cloning there, the Falcon you mentioned, is that DARPA's Falcon project, or are you talking about something else?
Yeah, this is a different one.
Okay. So that's that's a private one, you said.
Yeah, Elon Musk, the creator of PayPal and or co-founder of PayPal, and then went on to start SpaceX and Tesla Motors. His SpaceX vehicles, the rockets that they're using, they're the Falcon, which of course is the symbol of Horus and the age of Horus.
Yeah.
And it rides on a, the engines are the Merlin engines, and it can't,
Dragon.
Topped with a Dragon spacecraft.
So Falcon, Dragon, Merlin, you know, it doesn't mean anything. There's no symbolism there. So that's that's interesting. I just find it interesting then that they've, I don't know who came first here, but the DARPA has their latest one is called the Falcon Project as well. And the other ones are working also on the Falcon. So,
right. And DARPA, of course, with General Motors are the ones that put together Robonaut 2.
What do you think is, going on in terms of cloning then, Freeman, if we look at the prospect of, I guess we could say artificially created people, because at this stage we have no idea if this was successful, we have no idea if this would be completely psychologically speaking and even spiritually speaking, you know, if one believes in the soul and whatnot, that these people, if they were capable of doing it, that they would be, you know, quote unquote normal as everyone else. There could be a number of things here where, you know, they literally could be more like, I don't know, dummies, like dolls that would have to be programmed or inserted, if you will, with personality and everything else. What do you think they're doing with this? Why are they so interested in this area?
One of the most curious facts about cloning in any species is the spark that generates life. Now, when a woman is impregnated, the spark is an internal, natural development that we don't even have classified what causes the catalyst that causes birth and this.
Yep.
But within human cloning, that catalyst is electricity and the electroshock that cell to make it think that it has been generating into life. And so the very spark of life given to a clone is already outside the natural realms. And so it's hard to think that they would, that we could generate that spark, that gift of life using, you know, our AC power cables, right?
Yep. It's kind of like Frankenstein there with, you know, they're channeling lightning to like cause the whole machine to awaken in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've shown us in their movies like Moon what they would utilize clones for. There was more recently another one, I think, with Tom Cruise or one of those guys. But the idea of
Oblivion,
yeah.
Pretty good one, actually.
Utilizing these clones as labor that don't realize they just fade out and are recloned. And, of course, you know, all the way back with Arnold Schwarzenegger and George W. Bush, back when the days of the sixth day, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And the idea that he had been cloned and a clone had taken his life. So that was also the mind transfer technologies coming into play with that. So here was Arnold Schwarzenegger at that time coming out as governor and pushing for human cloning and stem cell research. Constantly in this political battle with George W. Bush, who was showing up on stage with stem cell babies that had survived this potential horrific prospects and being cloned.
Yeah.
So we've had this battle going on for quite some time. And all the legislations that have been coming forward and the ideas of chimeras. I mean, this is one of the main factors right now. Just recently, they've come out with legislation in Ohio against the crossbreeding of, or the cross generation cloning of chimera, of human animal hybrids, of other animal hybrids, of creating the very beings that are being depicted in the Pyramid of Peace in Astana, right? Where you know, that Pyramid of Peace is where they're also forming the Global Council for Religion.
That's right. Yeah. Uniting everyone under a spiritual banner. And then this is going to be, you know, government is going to be made mandatory by government. So the idea of church and state is going to be, seems to be not separated anymore as we go into the New World Order and the global government that they're building. It's going to be a must for everyone, right?
Yeah, like I say, when you're looking to the Nazi Party, you're not looking at a social political movement. You're looking at a belief system that deals with ancient civilizations, high occult practices, and even human sacrifice rituals to invoke and evoke entities into your souls. These are their real motivations. The Nazis, they could not be defeated in war because they're not a nation, they're a belief system. And so coming to America, combining with Walt Disney, combining with the NASA programs and all the future programs that we've been dealing with, the Nazi Party did not go away. And, you know, as a clear example would be the twins in space experiment that's up and coming.
Mm-hmm.
The Kelly brothers, Scott and Mark, they are identical twins, and NASA has never had the ability to do twin experiments in space. So they say that these stem cell programs going on by Genesis, is the name of the corporation sending stem cells up to the International Space Station on the Atlantis space shuttle. I mean, come on, you know, the purpose of these stem cell programs on the space missions is because of the atrophy that comes along from being in zero G gravity. And so they want to extend the lives, but of course this is all road to immortality. Well, so they have a chance now with the Kelly brothers. Now, Mark Kelly is Gabriel Gifford's husband and was recently involved in somewhat of a scandal, although he wasn't connected to it, but he was the pilot that flew Lisa Nowak into outer space. Now, Lisa Nowak, this doctor, this wife and mother who looked completely, you know, normal, sane, had a beautiful life, you know, flying the space shuttle or, you know, going off into space and stuff, returned after this trip with Mark Kelly. And that's when she donned on diapers and drove from Houston to Orlando to abduct another astronaut woman in the Orlando airport and tried to break into the car, brought implements of destruction like duct tape and rubber tubing and I think a knife, and was caught trying to abscond this woman. It's hard to know if she was trying to kidnap her or kill her. But she didn't seem to want to do either. And yet there she was. And she had driven the whole way. She is reported that she wore diapers because she didn't want to stop. She just had to get there. And I wonder about what experiments are going on and going awry. Why did this wife and mother feel the need to rush to go capture this other astronaut woman? You know, it's like the movie Species or something, that because there was supposedly some sort of love affair that was going on with another astronaut, but Lisa Nowak herself said that that wasn't part of what she was freaking out on. And then basically Nowak was just given a slap on the wrist and was let off of these charges.
And she has twin daughters, by the way, as well, born in 2001.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, that's just too much. the whole idea of the Nazi experiments connecting with the monarch programming was the concept of beings in us being connected through our soul powers or through our psychic means. And so the concept of the monarch was the idea that the monarchs would take three generations to get to their mating lands. How did the next generation know where to go if they just were born? And the concepts of genetic memory. And so this played heavily into the Nazi experiments. And so the twin studies were one of the ones that they were really interested in, because you were able to see the correlation between two identical beings and see what different things would occur, and the amazing psychic link that these twins tend to have. Now, like I say, the Nazis didn't vanish. They were sent off to different places around the globe and brought here to America, but also brought down to Argentina and South America. And in Candido Candoy, there's this town of twins where they're all blue-eyed, blonde-haired in the middle of South America, a whole town of twins down there. And it's believed that the Nazi scientist Mengele, who was doing these twin studies, had just continued on with his work down there. Honestly, that is not too distant in Paraguay from where the Bushes have their ranch, and where I'm certain when the next Nuremberg trials happens, when here in America, we can follow all the social engineering that's leading everybody to attack their own government here in America. That they want to call about these trials against Bush and Cheney and everyone. And this is the same tactic that was used just to disperse the Nazis to the other programs in different places, and nothing really ever happened, right?
Right.
To the bad guys. So they're going to do experiments with Mark and Scott, these identical twins on the International Space Station, to see the reactions and the what happens to, you know, one that stays behind and the one that goes out. And so they're all excited, but I just wanted to really lay in that these are all connected together. There's no separation from any of this. The belief system of Atlantis, the idea of Hyperborea and the belief in a superior race of Aryans is still alive and well within the social structure of the elite and the foundations and institutions such as NASA.
I wonder what they're what kind of work they've been doing on consciousness overall on some of these astronauts, because it seems like, well, in some cases, then obviously here with Lisa Nowak, it could be a number of things, the reason for this and her behavior and everything else, but there seems to be something interesting that happens with some of the astronauts, at least, that there is a change in them in some way, both maybe in consciousness and psyche. But, you know, I don't know. It seems that the space travels that they do affect them tremendously. And maybe that's why they wanted to try to do something on the twin kind of thing. They want to see if something changes it, maybe in the body or genetically, or maybe perhaps even if there's a connection between them. But it seems to me, Freeman, that, you know, some of the astronauts have reported when they come back that they don't really remember much. There's mm-hmm. either there's a reluctancy to talk about it. It could be that factor, or the fact that certain things that they do simply is classified, so they put the lid on in that regard. But I think there's something else going on, and we have that speculation that when you leave the atmosphere and when you go outside of the you know, out there, the perimeter, if you will, of the planet, that it's almost like our consciousness is not fit to handle that for some reason. I don't know. How do we explain this breakdown, do you think, in some of the psychology of these people? Were Lisa going nuts, or is she being programmed to do something? What do you think happens there?
Yeah, well, as I do look into the mind control programs, it all boils right into this same system. So it is entirely possible and even probable that they have been through trauma-based mind control techniques. And another thing you'll see on the International Space Station is that they're Navy SEALs, and they're you know, this is open trauma-based mind control, right? We accept the trauma-based mind control that is like the SEAL program, but when it's done to the unwitting, we consider it nefarious. But I believe either way, it breaks you.
Yeah.
And you just accept that you're going to get broken if you join the SEALs. So yeah, this story has been going hand in hand from Britney Spears to Lisa Nowak. You know, it is one story there.
I wanted to ask you as well, Freeman, a little bit more about the 5th of November. You've done a lot of stuff on the V, you know, the symbolism of both the numerology behind that and everything else. But I always find it really interesting with the major impact that movie V for Vendetta had on people with the adaptation of the mask and the symbolism of rebellion and everything else. I quite frankly don't know where this is going to lead, if anywhere, when, you know, with the rebellion and everything else. But I don't know. I have a lot of questions about it, if I put it that way. I don't think it's genuinely for the benefit of you know, encouraging the rebellious spirit. I think it's actually to squash it, if you will. But what do you make of it?
Well, I always tell people that it's not what's subliminal. You know, look at the storyline. When you're looking at Tangled from Disney, realize that the storyline is that the mother is an evil succubus that's controlling the daughter that should run away with the villain because secretly she's a princess. In this same way, V for Vendetta, people are not recognizing that the release of Evie by the character V, who is absolutely the dark hero in this situation. Is trauma-based mind control. When Evie is taken by V, kidnapped, punished, tortured, and if it were correctly portrayed, she would have been raped, then she is told that once she no longer fears death, once you know, she's given up all hope of having a normal or happy life, then she's free.
Right.
And so that's the moment where she goes out in the rain and has her big epiphany. So trauma-based mind control leads to freedom is what the storyline is telling you. And then within the comic book itself, V for Vendetta by Alan Moore, who is an anarchist magician, he embedded the concepts of Adam Weishaupt's Bavarian Illuminati. The idea is that there is a systematic rise and fall that runs in a five-step program to civilization. And, you know, it goes from bureaucracy to chaos to destruction. And he uses the German titles. And these are the same as in the V. He uses these same Bavarian Illuminati terms. And on top of that, the philosophy based inside of V for Vendetta is that of Aleister Crowley's. Because Alan Moore is an avid follower of Crowley's work, and he quotes Crowley in the comic book. He has scenes, and when you see that Latin V motto over the mirror in the movie, that's actually Crowley's motto, and it's going to that VVV symbolism. Now, when I talk about this VV symbolism, I always want to remind people that we're not talking about Roman numerology, but Hebrew numerology.
Right.
And in that, the letter, the V equals 6. And, you know, I've done an in-depth study on all the different situations where you're going to see either the 666 or the 66 symbolism and how this relates. Because you see that OX, so we've you know, beat this dead horse, but F, O, and X being 666 in English gematria, F being 6, O, 15, X, 24. So OX is 66, which goes back to the VV symbolism. And this is the mark of the abyss. This is the place of the fallen angels. And so all of the systems are together, and they fit over and over again to the point when Madonna put the mark of the beast up on the Super Bowl stage, she also had the VV symbolism, which is the same symbolism Hitler had designed for the Volkswagen, which is, again, the sign of the abyss. But then when he crossed those two Vs for the Volkswagen, it becomes 666. And, you know, Monster Drink is the Hebrew letter V. And there you see, again, the 666 is the monster logo is actually the Hebrew 666. And it's crazy.
It's very, very ubiquitous. It's out there. And what does this tell? What should this tell us, rather, of... you know, the Million March and all that that's going on. I mean, I always saw the Guy Fawkes mask as a, it's a very, I mean, I understand the first level symbolism of it, but as you said, if you continue to scrape the surface of that, you see an eradication of, you know, of the individual, really. You see that major mass working in unison in one mode and everything else. It, has this anything to do with creating chaos so that the good old order out of chaos can be achieved at some point here. What do you think?
Absolutely. The psychology of a mask is so potent. And any organization that needs to utilize a mask is not one that's coming to you forefront, even if they think they are. And the power of the mask to create a narcissistic person is unbounded. And this is one that you can clearly see in YouTube comments, in Facebook posts, or any of your chat rooms. The idea of being faceless.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being able to be as evil and conniving and mean as you want to be. This is what is behind the mask and what the mask generates in the public. Now, the mask itself, the plastic that we're seeing here, is generated by slave labor that's sitting in some closed warehouse huffing some fumes. And all the money, of course, is going to Time Warner, Warner Brothers, the Eye in the Pyramid, AOL, right? All of that money, the million masks that they all bought, just gave their enemy a bankroll. And, you know, Alan Moore, the creator of this concept, doesn't get a dime out of it. And to be truth be known, he took his name off the movie.
Exactly.
Because they had removed all the parts he thought was important, which was the philosophy of Adam Weishaupt coupled with the magic of Aleister Crowley.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, Weishaupt, the former Jesuit, the same thing was to say for Guy Fawkes, actually. He was also a former Jesuit. And of course, his act was to blow up the House of Parliament. And although at the time this might have been an understandable act, and, you know, there is a reason for revolutions and rebellions. We can all understand that. But the question is, what is going to appear in its former? You know, what's gonna rise out of those ashes? That's what I've always questioned, you know?
I mean, we went to every Occupy movement in our big yellow school bus for 2012 and 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely enough, every time we showed up, that was the time that they ran those people out. It was like we were their death toll. I don't know. We would show up in Philly, you know, nothing happened. We'd leave and then they'd all get rousted. And it happened in every state that we went to, including Kansas, New York, Washington, D.C. And as I looked at these Occupy guys and, of course, their Guy Fawkes masks, I was in Philly for the 5th of November. And you can actually see that video on the front page of Freeman TV right now, watching some crazy stuff go on, and the anger and the screaming and the fact that the people walking by could care less. And there was no unified front. They were anonymous to the point that they didn't even know what they were standing there for. And it just looked like a bunch of hobos, right? Without any sort of mission except to dirty up the space where they were living downtown. Now, had they taken the same mindset and all of this mass of people and settled down, I mean, they were there for months, settled down and started churning up lawns and really making social change and planting gardens and starting to change the framework and the examples of how we can exist together, then it would have been something. But instead, we've got angry people behind masks shouting out at people that could care less and no one even knowing why they were there shouting in the first place.
You know, the Wachowski brothers, well, now brother and sister, actually, okay. I've started to analyze all their movies in greater detail. I hope to be able to release something of this here. Might still be a while because there's a lot of components to this and it's just kind of largely thoughts at this stage. But I've become very, very impressed and very interested in how the majority of the messages in these movies, the didactic morals, if you will, that is imposed upon people who watch these films have been swallowed hook, line, and sinker by most people who haven't done any greater, you know, analysis on them. And I've really started to question a lot of the things within there. I mean, just look at the concept of the Matrix, which is of course a brilliant concept. But just look at how that has inserted itself into popular culture in the way it has done it. You know, and I don't know. I'm just developing stages at this point. But I've really started to question what the purpose of that is. You know, do you have any thoughts on them and their films?
Well, absolutely, the Luciferian programming of Neo, the new man, who at the end of it all finally says, it's all light. And so he is absolutely this reference to the Luciferian character, who the elite in their understanding, Lucifer is the ultimate
savior, maybe.
Yeah. I was trying to think of the right word there.
Yep.
That he's the intellect. He's the one that first turned against the oppressive forces of Yahweh and was leading humanity into freedom and wanted to give us the same powers of God, you know? So to them, this Luciferian and the idea of lux and light, you know, Luke Skywalker, and when you go back to that symbolism, Luke, lux, light, you know, it's all the Skywalker, Luciferian symbolism. But when you look to Darth Vader, the villain of this story, he actually correlates with a Jesus character. He was immaculately conceived. He was the chosen one. And so in the Star Wars saga, you know, Darth Vader is Jesus. And then Luke is Lucifer. And I always think about how much that movie influenced me and so many concepts that people were carrying around with the idea of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And how much we all feel that we should have those type of telekinetic teleportation and telekinesis, you know, powers. There's something that the human really believes that we can move matter with our minds, or that we can communicate without the use of our vocal cords. And this is something that's coming out in this new show, The Tomorrow People, as well, where they all have these abilities and curiously can't kill.
There's so many of those shows. It's unbelievable. It's always about
there was alphas.
Exactly. The transmutation or the hybridization in some cases of mankind, and that this is going to be, you know, turned into something which is, you know, more powerful. Of course, this is a story that goes back to, you know, the Olympus and the Grecian kind of mythology of the half-bloods, if you will. But it's, man, it's, I tell you, it's really like there's a program to transform mankind. And then in that process, or to at least conceptualize this in people's head, that the need to merge with something else and consequently transform yourself, is that's where we're heading. Like, that's the highest peak of achievement that we could ascend to, you know?
Yeah. And you just reminded me of what I wanted to say earlier, which is now better referenced now because of the movie Avatar. Now, the concept of Avatar was to have a genetically crafted being that was capable of receiving your soul or your mind through computer transfer technologies. And you had to have a genetic match. And that's what the movie was about, to bring in, they introduced that character, the brother, because the one brother had died and they needed his genetics, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there was, I guess we have covered this, but the scientists that, the Russian scientist Ishkov, who was coming forward with his avatar program, saying, I can give you immortality if you give me billions of dollars, and I can send your soul into a holographic body and you can live forever. And then he tried to propose this to DARPA, and they said, well, no, we've already got our avatar program, and we don't need you. So It's open right there, you know, like I said, with Robonaut 2 or the X-37B, these are already telepresence robots, the ability to transmit your soul into them. So when we're looking at the elite, when we start to realize, you really should open up the book, The Epic of Gilgamesh. Let's, at the end of the world, go back to the beginning of the world and have a relook at the situation. Because the Epic of Gilgamesh is going to describe our future so well. Now, here he is. He is claiming, now, the Epic of Gilgamesh, for the listeners, is the very first book ever written. And when you go to this story, you find that Gilgamesh is claiming to be two-thirds god, because his mother was a goddess and his father was human. And that in this, he deserved to be taken to the abode of the gods and not be left here with the lowly humans on planet Earth, who he was raping and beating and was just the worst king ever. so much to the point that the gods that he had to submit to, these beings that lived in what seemed to be fortresses inside of mountains like NORAD. So the whole tale of the Epic of Gilgamesh is Gilgamesh approaching these seemingly fortified military bases that exist inside of mountain faces with spinning lasers out front that will, you know, slice you down, and trying to bid to them and plead to them to allow him to get off the planet. And what occurs is they create a chimera, what they call Enkidu, and it's basically Bigfoot, because Gilgamesh was a giant, or, you know, mostly a giant. He was half human, or a third, I guess, according to him. And to keep him from raping and beating all of his people, because he was a king, because those are who got the divine right to rule, those with the bloodline, he was, they built Bigfoot for him to battle as a playmate to keep him occupied, so he'd leave the gods alone and he would leave his people alone. And I really think that, you know, we could end up in that very same situation right now with these ruling elite, some superior gods, be they from Hyperborea or Sirius or Alpha Draconis or Planet X, I don't know, or just through the other dimension and these channeled entities that can be now brought through using these technologies that we've been talking about. Because, you know, CERN has launched the Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer and the ability to see into the anti-universe, and they are working on, well, they've been able to capture antimatter for a number of seconds. And so now we're looking at the ability to be able to have a subspace wormhole like Stargate.
Yeah. Wow. Well, they're certainly going forward, you know, Freeman. There's so many things that they are, that they're working on. And, you know, the 2045 initiative, we've talked about that many times now in the program. And I think they've even said, you know, back in, you know, 2012, they were looking 33 years out, you know, to 2045 as getting something, you know, real and tangible done on this end. But I always question if it's possible. I mean, it's certainly going forward, but it's still, some of the major leaps here are still not taken. It feels like maybe from a conceptual point, we can imagine all these things. But I mean, I don't know. Even if they attempt to do it, I have doubts about their success rates in terms of uploading, you know, people's consciousness to computers and, you know, these other technologies that's going to more or less make you immortal, you know. I don't know. What do you make of it? Do you think they'll be able to pull it off?
No one believed in a quantum computer until it was just announced that now the NSA and Google are purchasing them.
That's right. Yeah.
And the quantum computer, you see this thing, it takes an entire building to cool it. But the computer itself is like a 2x2-inch square. It's crazy. And then the leaps and bounds that we are going into the in using quartz crystals as containment devices for data. This, of course, then plays heavily into what everybody's been saying about the pyramids and the ancient structures of Peru and how they utilize quartz crystals and mica in the building of these planetary size computers. When we start to get to these levels where we're actually utilizing the natural earth as a computer foundation, then maybe these things could start to take even more form. But at this time, yeah, we're barely pushing the limits right now. CERN is hoping to get their LHC grid to the capabilities of that type of processing power, which is in exabytes or petabytes, and they're not there yet according to their open sources. So yeah, it is a weird thing, right, to think that you are simply energy inside of this body, but we really are just another computer, really, the body itself. And when Crowley came into the picture, he said when we begin the industrial use of semen, this will completely alter civilization.
And the British scientists a couple of years ago, they allegedly developed that.
What's that?
Artificial semen.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I actually looked at this article again last night because we were doing some research on some of these, you know, components. And let me see if I can find that again here. But yeah, that's largely already done. UK scientists.
Well, you know, the Ordo Templi Orientis was all about semen, and really they have their Gnostic mass. They have a Gnostic Catholic church within the OTO, and this is the elite of the OTO. And in their mass, they would eat these cakes made with either menstrual blood or even excrement. And it was believed that these were the powers to call the spirits, and then the semen was the energy to bring them to life. And curiously, Lady Gaga's current perfume has a derived semen, genetically crafted semen, and also a blood sample of Lady Gaga, a genetically crafted blood sample of Lady Gaga. So you're actually now spraying your anointation of the Antichrist on you whenever you use Lady Gaga.
That's funny. Yeah, it was just to bring that back to that point then. Scientists at Newcastle University, they made history back in 2009 when they created the first artificial sperm. This is all done from human stem cells, so it's not that they've done it all, of course, but to have that they are definitely onto that with and between the combination of artificial uteruses and wombs and everything else that they're developing, it's pretty much that the natural procreation cycle of the humans is maybe largely going to be obsolete here at some point.
Yeah, well, we find that there's data inside of sperm, and that you get 35 megabytes of information in a single sperm, up to 1500 gigabytes in an ejaculation.
Really? You know, that's interesting.
Yeah. And if we can start, if they start utilizing these type of, data resources, I don't know, but man, it's all getting very strange. And when you think back to Ian Wilmut, the guy who cloned Dolly, he didn't expect any recognition out of that whatsoever. They didn't keep clear records. They didn't even know what sheep they had cloned Dolly from. And really didn't think anything of it, because they had actually already cloned cows before this. Others had, not Ian Wilmut. And they were just trying to find a way to build a better animal for produce and for production. So, wow. And next thing you know, he's on the cover of Time magazine.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Wow. Well, it's, geez, man, we could just talk for hours about this stuff and the developments that have taken, in the last couple of years, the occult and the esoteric significance and the connections, between the headlines that we're seeing. I'm more afraid at this point, and we can certainly begin to wrap things up here for this time, Freeman. Unless you have much more to add to this, because we could continue, as I said, for hours about this, but, the concept of an AI running amok is also, with the Deep Wave, as you mentioned, the Google's new, quantum computer, that could be something that would be potentially viable at this point, a real artificial intelligence. And either if that's going to be programmed to run amok, it's going to be the intentional accident, if you will, or if it's going to be a real accident. No matter how you look at that, that's a scenario that has always freaked me out to a large extent. If we had this, that would be the real Matrix / Terminator scenario beginning right there.
It would. I mean, Skynet has been formed. It's there. It's already in existence. And with the drone capabilities and the Google People Finder, we're at Terminator salvation, as they promoted it to us, because they want to promote the concepts that humans are the most vile beings on the planet and should all be destroyed or manipulated into a system where they have to, or forced to, care for one another. And I just wholeheartedly disagree with any of this belief, everything that's leading down this dark road to ultimate control through this technocratic elite is false. If you were to go and step out into the world to really commute with the divine and find your path, and this is how I came to you, was just by being guided by divine forces that you will recognize when it happens, because it's just such incredible synchronicities that there's nothing but the divine to attribute it to. When you start to find this path, then you realize that everything else has been false, and that all of the creation of history and civilization has been manipulated and has led humanity away from their true divine nature. And we could so easily take it back if we weren't taking in all of this data. But at the same time, these guys now have the powers of God and the technologies that they have for human manipulation and terrorization is epic. I mean, I don't know. It's going to take a spiritual revolution to end this situation, because the iron fist with the velvet glove just keeps closing tighter and tighter.
Yeah.
It's up to us to go and befriend, start to talk out and to quit treating people like they're not there and start speaking to people in your everyday life, you know, and start to find this unity between us. And like I was saying before, you know, infuse your food with love and start sharing that with people. You'll be amazed at the effects that has. And we have to start to find these spiritual effects that we can combat with that aren't programmed from the dark hero, I'm going to get those evil SOBs mentality, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right when you talk about how humans are portrayed as demons and a virus on the earth, a plague, and, you know, again, all the kids' movies, Monsters, Inc., Monsters University, and just a slew of other ones with that kind of mindset that it's mankind is a demonic, even Wall-E, they show that kind of, you know, Idiocracy style, that humans are just complete idiots and morons, and to a certain extent, that's true today because of all the manipulation that they've been subjected to and the so-called educational system. But ultimately, it needs to be an awakening of our own mind, you know, of our realization of that we are the ones who can actually change and alter the situation. Otherwise, if we're not, we're going to walk down the path that's been paved for us, you know, and it's not a pretty one.
It really isn't. And they're showing us exactly how it could unfold in all of those Hollywood productions and comic books and methods of sociological programming and propaganda. And in no way are we ever shown some sort of beautiful outcome. You know, it's always the end of the world. And so we're not even given the option to consider the ideas of cooperation. And it's never shown to us. And the Disney animalistic, back to the Alan Thicke, Robin Thicke, right? Miley Cyrus ideas and the ideas of being animals is being generated into these youth over and over and over again through, you know, nature shows, which are really satanic programming. And to overcome, it's going to take friend to friend, it's going to take face to face, smile to smile, because the powers that we are up against are far too great for us to take on. We are smaller than Gilgamesh attempting to get into these fortresses, and we have no power against any of this. You can't stop the X-37B. You can't stop the waves of frequencies being utilized in ionospheric heaters. You can't stop the chemtrails going over your heads, or the trauma that is coming through the Hollywood stars, that with anything but love and security and friendship, that's the only answer.
Great talking with you again, Freeman. It's always great to touch, you know, base with you and tap into the Freeman perspective a little bit. Please give us your website again and how people can, you know, watch the videos that you have out there, the books you have available. You have the USB memory with all your good stuff on there, and then of course tell us a little bit again here when you think or expect the episodes to be up on the People's Voice there, the David Icke Network.
Yeah, absolutely. So freemantv.com, and that has always been my goal, to create television that frees mankind. So freemantv.com, I have 8 years of data that goes back 20 years of research, endless hundreds of hours of interviews and videos and stuff for you to just spend all your time there. You could spend a decade on Freeman TV and never see the same thing twice. It's my greatest work of art. I'm happy that I've been given the opportunity to create such a thing and to feel that I've really made an impact in shifting the world consciousness. So I have six DVDs out, starting with going back to corporate logos and their occult meanings, leading all the way up to extraterrestrials and transhumanism and everything in between. And none of that is included on the USB. The USB has all of the lectures that I've given, all of the different conferences, and all of the best interviews or radio shows that I've ever done. It's amazing how much you can fit on that little stick. So that's a great purchase, because it also comes with Weird Stuff, our new book, Weird Stuff Operation Culture Creation Part 1. You really want to get this for Christmas for your family and friends, I swear. They will thank you for it, and it'll be the gift that keeps on giving. We have 9 Weird Stuffs planned, and Jamie is deep, deep, deep into Weird Stuff Part 2, and we're going to just keep this going until we've got everything we wanted to say out. And we're doing it in such a way that it's artistic and beautiful. We have a full color spread. It's the magazine type format, but you know, well researched documentation in there. You can also check out Aliens from Hell on Freeman TV. And I'm beginning now to release all of the Free Your Mind conference there on Freeman TV. I am working die hard, just some crazy artists trying to pull together conspiracy science theater. So that's my new show for David Icke's The People's Voice, which will also go out Roku and through Dark Space TV, I believe. We're working on our own little network as well in the background. So we'll see how that all goes. It'll certainly stream through FreemanTV.com, The People's Voice, and then possibly Dark Space TV, and then Anomalies Channel on Roku. I want it everywhere. I want this knowledge to get out and get to everyone. And you can support me by subscribing. You don't get anything special for subscribing. I call it sponsorship, but it keeps me going. So if you sponsor for $7 a month, I am working on getting the subscribers' unique content, but it's always been my thing to keep all the information free. So if you come on and subscribe, then you're just helping keep all this information free and keeping me working. So those are the many, many ways that you can help. And if you can't get any, just spread the word of FreemanTV.com around. Just share it and tell people to come on over and check it out.
Right. Well, thanks, Freeman. And thanks to Jamie as well. FreemanTV.com is the website. You can support all the efforts there. Of course, much more information for you right there. We have to have you back again soon, Freeman, because it's always good fun and a lot of interesting stuff coming out to the surface. So good times. Thank you again, Freeman, for coming on.
Hey, you're very welcome, Henrik. Thank you for having me.
New guests and upcoming topics is in the pipeline. We have Mike Mitchum from the UK on the smart grid and transhuman agenda. Andreas Bachmeier on vaccine injuries. Judy Byington, Jesse Ventura, Louise Proud, John Whitehead, Richard Holland, and Anthony Peake, to mention a few. But I hope you have a great rest of your day or evening, wherever you are. And I want to say to all our members, thank you from me, Frederick, Lana, Elizabeth, and John. Take good care, and we'll talk to you soon.